Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to the Ulama Profile this Thursday evening. I wish to begin the program really by saying a heartfelt condolences to my good friend, my brother Usama. He's lost his father. Really, Usama is an amazing person, works under pressure, knows how to be able to do it, and he's lost his father. We make dua for Usama. Allah fill his father's qabr with nur, grant him the highest of stages in Jannatul Firdaus, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for the entire family. Along with that, one of our very senior ulama of the country, Hazrat Morana Qara Saliji Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, also passed away. Morana was an amazing person, and hopefully inshallah we could maybe deliberate on the life of Morana inshallah in one of the upcoming programs as well. But really, very, very difficult times, and Allah make it easier for one and all. We're speaking this evening of Maulana Muhammad Saeed Desai Saab, Rahmatullahi Alayhi of Durban. And I just have a feeling today is going to be an amazing program. And we have his son with us, Hafiz Muhammad Ammar. Hafiz Saab, Assalamu Alaikum wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh.
Wa Alaikum Assalam wa Rahmatullahi wa Barakatuh. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, Allah's Ihsan, Jazakallah so much for taking our time. It's very difficult to speak of one's father, and I'm sure inshallah Allah has kept the legacy alive in you, and you will be able to tell us regarding Waris Ab Rahmatullahi Alayh.
Inshallah, I have to also take a lot of time to say JazakAllah so much to Maulana and team for giving me this opportunity. This is really a great favor from the side of Allah Ta'ala.
Most definitely, our ulama, they are great people, and they have really achieved so much. You know, just before I start the program, when I already receive a message, I know it's going to be an amazing program. Message comes in, Assalamu alaikum. I was a student of Morana Desai for over 2 decades, and I've never met anyone so dedicated to Quran learning and teaching, a great loss for the entire generation, most definitely. So please do keep your messages coming in. The number 071-878-9748. Hafiz Saab, tell me a little bit of a background on Walid Saab and who we're speaking about this evening.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So my dad's name was Marhum Ghulam Muhammad Desai, Rahmatullah Ali. And my daddy's name is Sarah Bibi Desai, Rahmatullah Aliha. My dada was a hafiz and an alim as well. And so because of this role that he had, he played an instrumental role in my father's becoming an alim, hafiz, and a qari. And when my father went to, or when my father was born, then he only did school till grade 5. He had about 7 sisters and 1 brother. So after grade 5, his father told him, or advised him rather, that he should go to do HIV. And he willingly accepted this offer, and he started HIV under Muhammad Khan, Rahmatullah Ali.
Okay.
And after he started HIV, then he completed his HIV, and upon his completion of HIV, his father was so happy with him, that he took him for Umrah, just as a token of appreciation. And thereafter, coming back from Umrah, my dada then advised Abba to start Alim course, because he wanted him upon that path. So my father started Alim course at Madrasa Falah al-Dareen, which is a ulum in Dargeshwar. Alhamdulillah, in 1989, he completed his Qiraat course by Marhum Qari Anis, Rahmatullah Ali, and he graduated from his Alim class, taking second place.
So, respected listeners, we are speaking about Qari Muhammad Saeed Desai Saab, Rahmatullahi Alayh, and we have his son, Hafiz Muhammad Ammar, that's with us on air. We have Hafiz... Hafiz Hanzala Hafiji with us this evening, or rather Marana Hanzala Hafiji, that will be joining us for a few minutes. He also wanted to share something. Marana, if we have you on the line this evening, we would like to welcome you and say Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay, Morana is not yet there. He'll come there, inshallah, soon. He wanted to share something. So your Abba went to Darul Ulum Falahi Darain in Tarkeshwar, and then he graduated. And thereafter, what happened subsequent to that, Hafisa?
After he completed his Alim course, then Abdul Ali made Mashura with Haji Bhai Padia. They came with the decision and the conclusion that he should come to South Africa. So my father Abba came to South Africa and he stayed a year, and then after 1 year he came to South Africa in 1991. After 1 year he went back to India to get married, and thereafter he returned to Impangeni when he started his stay from that time to in South Africa. From Impangeni, then he came down to Reservoir Hills, and then from there to Clear Estate, continuing to do his work of pain.
And tell me, your father, before he finished his Alim class, was originally staying in Durban, or they were staying in India?
No, he was in India at that time. So he was born and brought up in India.
Okay.
Gee.
Then after he graduated, then he came to South Africa. We're going to try and get one of the other guests also who will be telling us a little bit with regards to Hazrat Morana, but we are currently speaking to Morana's son. If there are any messages, let's share it with us. The number is 071-878-9748, and I would like to take your messages and read it on air, inshallah ta'ala. Abisab, what were some of the services that your father had delivered once he had then graduated and come to South Africa after making nikah with your ummi, everyone coming down? What are some of the things that your father had done in terms of service to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
So, Ma, I forgot to mention one point. After completing his Alim course, Abba was in India at that time for 2 years, and he was teaching his class in a village called Dammar before he came to South Africa. After 2 years, then he came to South Africa, and then he was doing Amil also.
So then when he came to South Africa, you were mentioning he first visited?
He came to Impangeni.
Impangeni, okay.
And he stayed over there, and then he came down to Reservoir Hills.
Okay. And then finally he settled in?
In Impangeni, he was doing Imamat and Maktab classes for about 2 years. Then after coming to Reservoir Hills, he continued with Maktab and Sheikh's class for another 2 years. And then finally, when he came to Clear Estate in 1995, he was the Imam of Masjid Izharul Haq for about 4 years.
Okay. Okay, we have on the line now with us. Before we carry on, Hafiz Saab, keep that thought, inshallah. We're going to take it from there. Hazrat Qali Lokat Saab, Tamad Barakatum. Qari Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and all the listeners.
We are honored to have you this evening with us on the radio. We want to share with you regarding your interaction with regards to Morana Desai Saab, rahmatullahi alayhi.
Okay. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salam ala ashraf al-mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Allah grant our marhum Mawlana and all our marhum and all the ulama high status in Jannatul Firdaws, especially for those who have qayrukum man ta'allama al-Qur'an wa 'allama. You know, Mawlana not only learned the Qur'an, he taught the Qur'an, he served the Qur'an, his son, you know, Hafiz Ammar said that also was a mashallah amir. To me, he was more of a friend, a brother. We were very, very close, alhamdulillah. We used to talk regularly. We traveled overseas a few times, even to India. And just to share a few things, I think the first thing, the most important, is that he was also a Qari, alhamdulillah. I remember seeing a sanad of his that he also, mashallah, was a Qari of Quran. And he ran his classes, mashallah. And besides in his classes, there were a lot of students, especially in Ramadan, they had to come and read for him before going to perform Taraweeh. And, you know, something, you know, I hope Atul Muhammad wouldn't mind me sharing, which Mona, I don't think shared with many people because it was something too delicate regarding the Quran. You know, we say people are walking Qurans. I would say that Marhum Mona was, you can say, a sitting Quran in the sense that in the month of Ramadan, he had a special place in his house where he used to sit and read the Quran and make khatam of the Quran every day. He had a set place. His Quran used to be there on a riyal, and he used to make khatam of the Quran every day, mashallah. How this came about? How this came about, Marhum Oisaf told me, is that many, many years ago in India, his father called him one day, and he said that, look, my son, there's something I would like you to do for me. I don't want to impose on you, but I'll be very happy if you do it for me. So naturally, Mona, always very obliging, naturally couldn't refuse his father. And his father said, look, I have had this habit for many, many years in the month of Ramadan to make Quran khatam every day. My son, would you be able to do that for me? And he didn't say no. And since then, he's been making khatam of the Quran in the month of Ramadan every day. And the amazing thing was he used to start on the last day of Sha'ban, just because you're not sure that how many days in Ramadan, whether 29 or 30, to make sure that by the last day of Ramadan, at least he made 30 khatam of the Quran. And this year, strangely enough, a few times when I tried to speak to Mona, I couldn't get hold of him. Then I said, Mona, you seem to be very busy. Then afterwards, after Ramadan, he told me that, alhamdulillah, this year was the first time that from the month of Rajab, Sha'ban, and Ramadan, they're making khatam of the Quran every day. So that's why we had a place where you sit and read the Quran. I know my marhum Ustaz Hafiz Sufi Pai used to make khatam every 2-3 days. My Ustaz Sheikh Abdul Bahad used to do about 15 paras a day to one stage. But here, you know, 3 months in a row, and this is not long before he passed away, every day, Rajab, Sha'ban, and Ramadan, khatam of the Quran daily. So this is something that, he loved for the Quran. Whenever we had Qurra coming down, he used to be with us, he used to be with the Qurra, we sat together, we ate together. In fact, I traveled with him to India, a place called Hathoran, not far from a very prominent Hindu area, and there's a Darul Uloom over there. And we visited that poor Darul Uloom, and we worked together, and alhamdulillah, they only had limited classrooms. We worked together, and they got accommodation. So, you know, Mohana, besides being an army, he did a lot for people wherever he went. So, you know, I have, very fond memories of him. Alhamdulillah, also, a lot of issues, not only deen, on life issues. I and many people have spoken to him, and the wisdom that Allah has blessed him because of the Quran and serving the Quran, I found him to be, gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, alhamdulillah, Allah grant him a high status for every letter of the Quran that he has recited.
Amen. Allah, inshallah.
I'm honest. So, there's so much one can talk about such a learned person, but, I'm sure there are others that also want to say a few words, inshallah.
Mawlana, share with us something special about him that you haven't told anybody. Share with us that one secret that you've always... I know you know him for long. Tell us something about him, Mawlana.
You want me to share something?
Gee, Mawlana. Something just out of your mind that pops out, Mawlana.
Okay, the special gift as an amil that he had, there are many people that had cancer that, alhamdulillah, to the amal that he made got cured.
Subhanallah.
So, I know of people that I know people that are around today. I know somebody not so long before he passed away gave treatment. They were supposed to have a very, very intricate operation, but with the medication he gave, the amal that he did, and so on, they didn't have a very intricate operation. They had a very simple operation. The disadvantage that Moana had from last year is that he used to depend on things coming from India, but because of the lockdown and the
restrictions in India,
there are quite a few things that he wanted to get to do amal for people he couldn't complete. But I know during the time there are people that, alhamdulillah, through his hand, that got cured. And I know of a, he needed red silk, as one of pure red silk. And one of the stores, I don't want to mention the name, when some people went there to buy that fabric, they said that store will have the fabric. And they said, is it for what? They said, no, for cancer treatment. They said, for Maulana Desai. They gave the fabric free of charge because that family also had a benefit. So, alhamdulillah, you know, these are some of the things that, you know, he shared with me as a brother, a friend. And, you know, he didn't want people to just know about it. And, you know, whoever came to his door, he never turned them away. He always had to help people.
Your call has been placed on hold.
Marana, we say Jazakallah so much for that. We have a message coming in. Marhum Marana was our imam at our masjid in Clear Estate, is Harul Haq. He spent most of his time in the masjid reciting Quran. I have never seen any person recite more Quran than Marana. He is a true role model for us Muslims and students. Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. Comes from Brother Zahir Muttalib. Most definitely, Brother Zahir, I think there's so much to learn from. Muhammad Ammar, you with us?
Yes.
Please carry on. You were making mention with regards to some of the services that your Abba Rahmatullah Ali was doing.
Yes, going on to Qari Rukhatsab's point of how Abba became an amil. Marhum Maulana Umar Ji Rahmatullah Ali advised my father, Abba, to become an amil, to seeing most of the Muslim community going to Hindus for assistance and guidance when faced with problems and difficulties. Okay. So this really hurt Marhum Maulana Umar Ji Rahmatullah Ali. So he asked and he advised my Abba to learn this work. And Marhum Abba was very happy to do this because it was the advice of Marhum Maulana Umar Ji Rahmatullah Ali. So he went and he learned this work, and he, basically the most important part of this whole amal work that he did was that he always used to tell me, you have to have yaqeen. And if you do not have yaqeen, then it's not possible. And all the time he would do this work of amal through the words of Quran and Hadith. There was nothing from his side that he was doing. It was only through Quran and Hadith. So that's how the amal work was going. That's how he was doing the amal work.
We have Maulana Dawood Vahid Saab, one of our ulama, that would like to share some of his interactions. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Maulana, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how is your health, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, I just want to share a few things about my health with regard to Maulana. But before that, Hazrat Qari Saab, Hazrat Qari Saab, Damal Barakatuh, may Allah forgive me reward. I didn't know so close, and alhamdulillah, a few aspects that he had touched on, I would like to expand on that a little bit more. Alhamdulillah, summa alhamdulillah, I am one of the beneficiaries of the amal and the ilaj Hazrat Maulana should administer. I am one of those beneficiaries, and I can put my chest out, and I will tell you some ajeeb things that I had experienced with Hazrat Maulana Rahmatullah Alayhi. May Allah Pak Kulay Sabar Unur.
Ameen, Ameen.
That he is not here, Allah Pak give us tawfiq that we can benefit him wherever he is, inshallah.
Ameen. Share it with us, Maulana. We want to hear what you have to share with us this evening.
I knew Maulana, alhamdulillah, for for many years, and but not very close. In the last 5-7 years, alhamdulillah, we got very close. My story was that I had a heart ailment. I was diagnosed. I had a heart attack, and I was diagnosed with an artery that is blocked, and I needed to. And the doctor's decision was, I went to the biggest hospital in KZN, Albert Luthuli, and the decision was that I have to undergo a bypass. And I said, no, wait, that's a bit too radical. Let us do something about it. And Allah Pak in His wisdom directed me to Hazrat Maulana. When I came to Hazrat Maulana, and I explained to Hazrat Maulana that I got a problem with my heart, he said, okay, just stop this. Don't tell me what's your problem. Prior to that, I had an angiogram done. And at the angiogram, it was discovered that I have one artery that is completely blocked, and it cannot be opened, and it cannot be blasted in the traditional way, and a stent can be put in. So I came to Hazrat Maulana and I explained to him that I got a heart problem. He said, don't tell me anything else. Just. And alhamdulillah, he read a few ayat. Before he started saying, he said, Maulana, you're my friend. Let me just tell you something. Not because you're my friend, I'm doing ilaj. This is a gift Allah Pak has given me. I'm making khidmat someone. Number two, I am not giving ilaj. Your yaqeen, as Ammar has said, your yaqeen has to be in Allah. I am only Ammar. Whoever he had done ilaj for, this was his first opening statement. Allah Ta'ala is Shafi. Allah Ta'ala gives you Shifa. I am only the meal. Please do not praise me, and please do not attribute any success to me. I am not a person who is going to be accepting any success, because success is only in a high, is only given by Allah, and only Allah is the person, is the being that will attribute success to. So then, when he sat and he read, and he felt my hands, etc., whatever the diagnosis of the angiogram was, he was 100% on dot. Whatever the, and what the doctors had seen over a test, within 2 minutes, he gave me my whole rundown, medical rundown, that you are suffering from this. And say, inshallah, there'll be no need for you to go for a bypass. And alhamdulillah, till Maulana was alive, and there was no need for me to go for any further medical procedures, etc. It took me carry on with the medicine, and he had administered me some of some medicine that what we normally call what home medicine. And alhamdulillah,
home remedies.
Kulunji oil and nutmeg, etc. And alhamdulillah, whenever I was running short, I had to send it to him to make some dump. Without any hesitation, he had. Whoever we sent to him, alhamdulillah, he attended to. And to my knowledge that I know, there was a very pious, one of our pious elders from KZN. His wife was such that she was completely bedridden, and she was in stage 4 cancer. And the doctors had given hope. And shukar alhamdulillah, Allah Ta'ala would the help of Hazrat Maulana, Allah Ta'ala had given her complete shifa. Before he passed away, a year or two before he passed away, she was cancer-free. The doctors just couldn't explain how she got better. And the third very worthy mentioning incident that I know of, there was a person whose wife, who they couldn't get children, or they had a child, but no, they desperately needed a child. And the lady was expecting, sorry. And while expecting, some complications set in, and she again ended up in one of the very big hospitals. And the decision was made at the hospital that the fetus has to be aborted. And okay. the father couldn't take this. He phoned Hazrat Maulana. Hazrat Maulana said, tell the doctor, don't do anything, I'm coming there. He came, he read the book, he said, the doctor, please do not do abortion. There is nothing wrong. The baby is healthy. The doctor didn't know it, but finally, the father didn't give consent for the abortion to take place. And shukar alhamdulillah, not long thereafter, the baby was born healthy and normal. And then the doctor came to him, explained to me what you have done. That I didn't do anything. I only told you not to do. The knowledge that you have is showing you something else. But the knowledge Allah Ta'ala has given us, Allah Ta'ala has given us that knowledge that we can supersede your knowledge. And alhamdulillah, he was a proud parent, alhamdulillah, their child was saved and they have become parents, alhamdulillah. Whenever Maulana gave me an appointment with him, our starting point was by the masjid. It's only after a salah or he will meet me at the masjid to this thing. And whenever I went to the masjid, Hazrat Maulana was always sitting with the Quran. Always sitting with. My son works in that area. Whenever he goes for salah every day, he sees Maulana is always sitting with the Quran. The love for Quran and the khidmat Maulana did for the what it was, sihat of people, I don't think I can ever pay him back for what he has done to me.
And he told me,
Maulana, there will be no need for you to go for the bypass. Wallahi lazim, after he passed away, 2 weeks later, I've been to hospital, and alhamdulillah, my artery was open.
Alhamdulillah, Maulana, we say Jazakumullah. Yeah. There are many messages coming in. I'm just going to go through them. Maulana Desai Rahmatullahi Alayhi, he did everything only for the sake of Allah. He never asked anything for whatever he did. It was truly a service to the Muslims. That comes from Imran Patel of Overport. Another message coming in. On every single occasion Maulana completed a khatam, he would cry like a sobbing baby. And for every problem that there was there, Maulana had a solution from the Quran al-Kareem. If we went for any personal errands during madrasa time, Maulana would ask, why don't you take out such time from school? He always prioritized the deen of Allah. We had our child with the help of Maulana's amal. We were battling. He would always say, first and foremost, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do. We have on the line now with us Mufti Hashim Saab. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mufti Muhammad Hashim.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hi,
Mufti Saab, it's always an honor to have you on the program, and really you've always come with such amazing points. May Allah bless you. Allah has given you such an amazing personality, and Allah increase you in your knowledge and your piety.
Ameen, ameen, summa ameen. Allah make us better than people's husbands.
Ameen, ameen, inshallah, Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, some of your interactions with Mufti Maulana Desai?
Alhamdulillah, for many years, due to various reasons, we had the interaction that we had was not to the level of many others that were so close to him. But still, alhamdulillah, Maulana Desai Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, may Allah grant him the highest days in Jannat and for Ameen. His qabr al-Nur. Maulana Desai Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, treated me like such a close bosom friend all the time. Always smiling, always warm, always very kind. Always he used to humble himself in front of me. Although he was my senior in terms of age, in terms of every aspect, but he still, the way he treated me was like he was my junior and I was his senior. So the aspect of tawadu, where the humility, being humble, was something very much avowed and pleading in Maulana Desai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh towards everyone. A few points that comes to my mind as Maulana Dawood Vahid Sahib was talking just now, that Maulana Desai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was a person truly, as the hadith says, Ahlul Quran, Ahlullahi wa Khasatu, where the people that are attached to the Quran Sharif, whether it be learning, teaching, in any form, they are Allah Ta'ala's family and his VIP people. We can say VVIP, the very close and special people of Allah. So Maulana Desai Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh was involved in the khidmat of Quran Sharif in his earlier days to a very great extent. Alhamdulillah, so many students benefited under him, learned under him. And as he said, as Maulana Dawood Sahib just mentioned now, one thing, even my son also and many others are witness to the fact that when we entered the masjid, Maulana was always most of the time on the left-hand side in the masjid part, and reading Quran Sharif to great length for many, many, sometimes hours also, especially in Ramadan and that all the time. So now even my son was telling me the other day that when we enter the masjid, we look on the left, Maulana used to be there all the time reading Quran Sharif. Now we don't see him because Allah Ta'ala has taken him away. So this is truly Ahlul Quran for sure. That is why hadith is clear يقول لصاحب القرآن اقرأ وارتقي ورتل كما كنت ترتل في الدنيا فإن منزلك عند آخر آية تقرأها. That صاحب القرآن somebody who
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
So that such a person, Allah Ta'ala will tell him, continue reading. And it's a lengthy hadith, but the gist of it is continue reading, your darja in Jannah will be at the last verse that you recite. So yeah, definitely Ma'ana Desai Sahib Rahmatullah Ali was sahib al-Qur'an, attached himself to the Qur'an Sharif, so much of love, intense passion and love for the Qur'an Sharif. Allah Ta'ala will grant him that very high place in Jannah.
Ameen, ameen.
Also,
Ma'ana, we see,
to get the word being attached seven people under the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. Qalbuhu ma'allakum bil masajid. His heart was always attached to the masjid. As Ma'ana Dawood also said, the appointments were before and after the masjid, the salah. So his heart attached to the masjid. And always crying in the masjid. I found him in making dua. The hadith is clear. Aynani la tamassumun na, aynun bakat min khashatillah. There are two people whose eyes, because of the barakat of the eyes, they will not go in the fire of Jahannam. One is the person whose eyes cry out of the fear of Allah. Ma'ana was seen in the masjid by ourselves and so many other people, crying profusely, like more than a baby, in the masjid while making dua. So that the barakat of that, Allah Ta'ala will protect him from any adab, from anything of that kind, and his daraja will be definitely very, very high in Jannat.
Ameen, ameen.
Just to conclude, the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, their habit was in ajriya illa ala Allah, la asalukum alayhi ajra. That it wasn't for money. It was that ajr is upon Allah, the reward is from Allah. So Maulana had this quality of where he's made himself such that there wasn't any monetary motive behind what he was doing, but he was doing out of the passion for it, out of the khidmat and service for the community and the makhluk. May Allah Ta'ala imbibe into us also these great qualities. May Allah grant him the highest in Jannah. May Allah grant him maghfirat and grant sabr to the family.
Maulana, we say Jazakumullah so much for your time, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you, all your responsibilities, and accept with ikhlas, inshallah.
Ameen, summa ameen.
We have a call at the moment from Botswana. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah. How are you, brother?
Alhamdulillah. Your thoughts for Maulana Desai Sahib?
My name is Muhammad. Myself and a lot of my friends grew up, with Maulana being our ustad. Approximately 26 years ago, we started madrasa first at Maulana. And we never really ended being his students. You know, when Maulana first started in Reservoir Hills, as Amar mentioned, this was actually before Amar was born. We became students of Maulana, and without us knowing, Maulana's love for Quran was such, you know, he taught us the common, rather common surahs. To the extent he wasn't happy with our tajweed when he first began madrasa, that he made us learn the Nurani Qaeda from the beginning. That is how firm he was, you know, with tajweed, with regards to tajweed. Thereafter, he taught us the common surahs, as I just mentioned, and without us knowing, one of the days he just said, learn from Alif Lam Mim till Ulaika ala hudam min rabbihim. And the following day, carry on half a page. And before we knew it, without realizing, he had started us with Hifz class. And alhamdulillah, we completed our Hifz under Mula. And 26 years later, I live in Botswana. Until now, until Mula passed away, if we had to go down to Durban, if I have to come down to Durban, after a few days, Maulana knows I'm there. If I don't start coming to do Dor to Madrasa, it call, get upset. Quran, if, you know, I have three kids, but not to get big-headed and think you're grown up. Quran knows always the most important thing for Maulana. He make sure we come through to Madrasa, to Dor. And like myself, there's many other students, and I'm speaking on behalf of all the students.
Hafizab, I have a few more callers. I'm going to say Jazakallah on that one. We have on the at the moment in the studio, Morana Hanzala Hafiji. Morana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Morana, and to Hafiz Ammar as well as the listeners of Radio Islam.
Jazakumullah, Jazakumullah. You knew Morana and you were very keen to share some of your interactions with him.
That's correct, Molana. Actually, you know, during the week we were speaking and I informed Molana to say that, you know, please give some time so that inshallah I can come in and share and express this on behalf of Molana. You know, understanding that we actually, from a very young age, whenever we went to Durban, then Molana Desai would always, you know, host us. And I don't ever remember a time that we went to Durban and we didn't end up being at Morana's place. And the way Morana would always accommodate us, and the way he took care of us. And Morana, like my father and Morana Said, were very, very good and close friends. So Morana Said would always go out of his way, making sure that, you know, when we stayed at his place, he would always be accommodating. And the type of person Morana was, always smiling, always, you know, taking care of the needs of his guests. And I don't ever recall a time when I never ever see Morana Said smiling. And, you know, even though when we would go to Durban and it would be holiday time, but we noticed that one thing was very in place was before Fajr, when Adhan would take place, then Maulana would already be at the masjid, and you know, his students would be coming in for Hifz class, and this would be a sign that, you know, Maulana would start off his day with Quran and end of his day with Quran. And it's happened so this year, Maulana, that at the start of the year in January, we went to Durban, and as usual, Maulana hosted us and made sure that, you know, the time we were in Durban, he actually dedicated all the time to take us around, to make our trip easy, to make everything nice and good for us. And I think, you know, Maulana, speaking about this, the qualities that Maulana possessed were extremely something that each person aspires to have, in terms of his kindness, in terms of his generosity, in terms of his excellent way he kept himself, he presented himself. And the beauty part with Maulana Said was, being a senior alim in Durban, we understand that no matter who the person was, but he always welcomed them, and he could always come and understand the person on that person's level. And you know, us as youth that growing up in his company, we make dua that we can we continue carrying out what Maulana had taught us. And at the same time, you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it such that Allah for Maulana's qabr with nur, grant him the highest of stage and grant him Jannatul Firdaus. And most definitely, you know, for Maulana's family, that Allah makes it easy, and understanding Ameen. That during Ameen. This phase of difficulty, may Allah ease their pain and continue to shower his blessings upon them.
Maulana Hanzala, we say Jazakumullah so much for your time this evening.
Ameen. Jazakallah, Maulana.
Hafiz Muhammad Ammar, what an amazing father Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed you with. Really, you are from the very, very fortunate servants of Allah. So many people sharing such good things. What are some of your thoughts and some of the things you would like to share, Hafizab?
Inshallah, before I continue with that point, I just wanted to bring up one more service that he had done. So I noticed also, I was just thinking about it now, that besides just doing the work of Amal, he also used to do a lot of counseling, especially marriage counseling, and helping people out whichever way he could. So much so that he would even make time to go to the businesses of those people who had learned the Quran, but they needed assistance because they could not leave the business. So he would go to them and even have, like, you know, a little while, spend it with them just to test them or, like, keep their doors strong.
Subhanallah, that's amazing, sure.
Gee.
And what are some of the other qualities that Abba Rahmatullahi Alayhi had?
Just talking about his qualities, I was just thinking that when Abba was, when he would read, I know Abdullah didn't prefer me to disclose this figure, but just to give an insight, I noticed that from what I know, he completed almost over 200 Quran khatams every single year.
Allahu Akbar.
And as Karishab and other ulama have been mentioning, that whenever someone came, even who was not part of his madrasa, he wouldn't mind testing them just to take out, just for the Quran Sharif, just because of that. He would test them with work, even during the month of Taraweeh. And he was always encouraging people, always. He wouldn't like to see anybody without any hope. So much to the extent that whenever they came by him, they had to leave with a solution, and always with in high spirits. So much so that he would say that, do not lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. And he would always quote ayat, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. And till this day, till now even, I always, always keep that with me.
You and your siblings are really, really honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you such a spiritual and such an amazing father whose attachment and link was so strong to the Quran al-Kareem, really from the very, very fortunate people, and a special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Even that was just with people, but talking about the family to my siblings, my mother, he was very jovial and always was happy. Even when it came down to eating time, he wouldn't be really sad. Even if I go to madrasa and come back, school and come back, he would always make sure that he sees me in a happy mood. He would always put his children's happiness, the family's happiness first. That's what he always wanted.
SubhanAllah. Hafizab, we've come to the end of the program. I'm going to ask you for your final comments, and on that we conclude, inshallah.
So inshallah, I would like to just give one story which I found really like stood out in his life. So after his teaching in Dammar for those 2 years, when he began teaching there, a child started his hijj at the age of 9. And within a span of 6 months, completed his hijj.
SubhanAllah.
And when he was having his khatam, then the crowd that was there, that was present, were brought all to tears. All of them were brought to tears at the recitation of the khatam of Quran.
SubhanAllah.
So,
what would be the reason that they were so emotional, Afisab?
From what my understanding is, it's that it would be the age of the child.
Then okay.
Secondly, it would be that the ustad is, like, you know, a new ustad, and within a span of 6 months, completing his hijj. And the third point would be that Abba was very particular about the tajweed of the Quran Sharif and how it is read.
If Abba was a student of Hazrat Qaniyani Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi, you would never even expect anything different, subhanAllah. Hafizab, I think there's so much left to say. Perhaps there's another program you and I need to do. Maybe in a week or two, I think I would like to carry on. Whatever you've prepared, just please do keep it. I want to follow it up with you again. I don't want to lose the opportunity of not doing a justice. I think there are so many messages. Perhaps we can redo a program of the aspects we haven't covered.
Inshallah, no problem.
Inshallah, I think we need to do that. Respected listeners, if you have an individual who for 3 months had done a Quran khatam every day consecutively, you would understand, or you would think this was something done centuries ago. But these are people within our own muds of whom we knew that we have buried that have such great qualities. It's high time we value and we make qadr of those that are amongst us, lest we say that they were good when they were alive and that they are no more. May Allah bless us all. May Allah give us the ability to recite the Quran al-Kareem like that. And may Allah make us the true lovers of the Quran. Once again, I say Jazakumullahu khaira. It was truly an amazing program, and I would love to carry on with the program. I would like to carry on, inshallah, perhaps at another juncture. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for one and all, inshallah. From myself, Ubaidullah Boja, a very emotional Usama. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.